all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today First Sergeant Albert Phoenix, retired from the United States Army. Albert, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Jim. I'm glad that you guys invited me.
Well, this is going to be a good conversation because we've been doing this for years and years and years, and I don't think we've ever had anybody in to talk about this particular topic. And that topic is junior ROTC. Albert's been teaching junior ROTC going on now, 13, 14 years, it looks like. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir. 13 years.
Well, that's fantastic, and we look forward to talking about it. But before we do, we should back up a little bit. Why don't you tell us where you grew up and why you joined the military?
Okay. I grew up in Dayton, Ohio. I'm a product of junior ROTC myself. I was in JROTC for 4 years at my high school in Dayton, Ohio. When I graduated, I enlisted in the Army out of the Cincinnati MEPS. And then from there, I was a 76 Yankee back then, which is a unit supply specialist. And then I moved on from basic training at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. I had my advanced individual training at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. And then from there, I went to Germany. That was my first tour over in Germany. I was 18 years old, and I was stationed in Hanau, Germany, Bravo Company, 23rd Engineer Battalion, part of the 3rd Armored Division.
That's a long way from Dayton, Ohio to Germany for a young man, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And obviously, you, the military suited you, and you suited the Army. You ended up making a career out of it. Tell us a little bit about how that career progressed.
Well, again, like I said, I started off as a unit supply clerk over in Hanau, Germany. I was in an engineer battalion over there. I stayed over there from 1985 to 1988. I advanced to corporal while I was there because I got a chance to take over the unit supply room and be in charge when my supply sergeant retired. And from there, Jim, I went to Fort McClellan, Alabama. I was there from 90 until 1992. I was in the 84th Chemical Battalion. And what I was in support of the Advanced Individual Training Battalion that trained all the chemical soldiers. And I progressed there. I made the rank of sergeant. Then I went back to Germany. This time I was in Vilseck, Germany. And I was in 3-1 Field Artillery. I was in the Field Artillery Battalion. And there I was a unit supply sergeant. So I got a chance to go to Germany, kind of back-to-back, which I enjoyed it over there. I got to see a lot of different countries over there while I was there.
Well, again, it's a long way from Dayton, Ohio, and you ended up, as I said, making a career out of it. You spent time at the U.S. Army Recruiting School in Fort Jackson, South Carolina, and became a Cleveland area recruiter, it looks like. That sort of brought you full circle back to Ohio, didn't it?
Yes, sir, it did. After I did my my assignments in the unit supply field, I got picked up for recruiting duty and went to school down in Fort Jackson, South Carolina to get certified as a recruiter. And I came back to Boardman, Ohio, which fell under the Cleveland Recruiting Battalion. And I was a recruiter I recruited there. I got picked up for an assignment to go back down to the recruiting school and be an instructor and a final evaluator. I was a writer, instructor, developer down there. And I actually got to certify the recruiters that come out on the street to talk to young men and women about the United States Army. And after that, I got picked up for first sergeant. And I got, kind of ironic, I got reassigned back to my same company in the same battalion where I grew up in recruiting, and I took over as a company first sergeant for that battalion.
You couldn't have asked for that to happen. It just has to happen. We've all oftentimes scratched our heads and said, "Who's making these personnel decisions?" So you know, what a great opportunity to go back to, if you will, where you started for sergeant. But clearly, mm-hmm. with that recruiting experience and the evaluating and instructing experience with other Army recruiters, it sort of set you up for sort of what you would do post retirement. You were using a lot of skills, but talk to us about how you felt the Army shaped you and provided you those skills, those interpersonal skills.
Well, you know what, Jim, I'll go back to my junior ROTC days. I had an instructor, his name was Major Graves. And he taught us a lot. Taught us a lot and taught us how to interact. And that's where it all started at, with my interpersonal skills. It started there. And then, as you know, recruiters, you're dealing with high schoolers the majority of the time. You still deal with the college market as well. So it all kind of shaped up real good, and the recruiting school prepared me even better to come back out and be a junior ROTC instructor to talk to young men and women about enlisting in the United States Army. So it was kind of a win-win situation with the skills that I got from the recruiting school and along the way with all my different Army courses that I had to go through from the basic primary leadership course all the way up to the first sergeant course.
Well, and that's certainly one of the things that you realize in a military career. To keep advancing, you have to keep proceeding with your education. You have to keep demonstrating your ability in those kinds of technical schools, don't you?
Yes, sir. You sure do. And along that, I did obtain my bachelor's and my master's degree. I have a MBA from Excelsior College. So a lot of civilian school work and a lot of military school work.
Well, and that's one of the things that certainly is an asset that can be explained to high school students thinking about joining the Army or any other military service. But veteran radio listeners, we're talking to First Sergeant Albert Phoenix, retired from the United States Army, who's currently a senior Army instructor in junior ROTC at John Glenn High School and has been involved with the Southgate High School and Detroit Public Schools ROTC programs. And that's really why we've got you on, Albert, is to talk a little bit about, let's start with this. Sort of what's the purpose or the mission of junior ROTC?
Well, the mission of junior ROTC is to motivate young people to be better citizens. What a lot of people need to understand, we're not there to recruit young men and women into the military. We're there to mold them as good citizens and get them on to the next level in their life, whether they go to college or whether they go into the work field or whether they go to a trade skill. So that's pretty much the mission of ROTC, to motivate young men and women to be better citizens.
And I think that's part of what really separates it from maybe college ROTC that we have more familiarity with, is that junior ROTC is really about taking that high school student and kind of making them a more productive and better citizen by imparting some of these life skills and positive approaches to things. Can you talk to us about sort of the curriculum that somebody who gets involved in junior ROTC might experience?
Yes, sir, I sure can. ROTC is a four-year course. You have what we call LET levels, leadership, education, and training. And each of those LET levels, 1, 2, 3, and 4. So at the basic level, they're getting introduced to junior ROTC, Army junior ROTC, when and where it started. They learn about the flag. They learn about folding the flag, the history of the United States flag. They learn about basic marching. They learn about different skills, such as what type of learner they are. Are they a hands-on type of learner? Are they a auditory type of learner? Are they a visual type of learner? So they're learning different things at that basic level. When we get to the next level, which is their second year, they're doing a little bit more stuff. We're teaching them how to do resumes. They set up a cadet portfolio. They take a survey where they find out whether they are a introvert, extrovert, how they communicate with different people. You get to that third level, it gets a little deeper. They do some of the same things, but they're mainly in your leadership role. So they're learning how a battalion staff operates. They're learning about the Department of Defense. They're learning about all branches of the service, what parts they have. They also get a little bit of what we got, a course called Global Awareness, how different stuff works around the world and the globe. And then that fourth year, which they should all probably be on battalion staff and or company commander, first sergeants. They're assisting in teaching, and some of them help do lesson plans as well. So out of those 4 years, they're getting a bulk of, I want to say, good life skill things that can take them and make them more productive at the next step.
Well, it's really interesting because I think, as you've explained it, they're not only learning about leadership and education and getting some training. Those life skills that you're inserting into them include things like probably time management, the importance of showing up on time, discipline, following orders, listening to somebody who's maybe more senior than you, those sorts of things that maybe a regular high school student skips right over, don't they?
Right. Yes, sir. And I'm glad you mentioned that because we do have what's called a merit and demerit system. Merit, obviously, meaning you do something good, you get rewarded for it. Demerit, you do something bad, that's a strike against you. We always get complimented by the faculty. Whenever we're going from point A to point B, if we're in the school or we're going out to the track, we're going to the gym, everybody's in order, in a straight line, not spread out. But that's part of the discipline piece that you mentioned. And to take a young freshman or any young teenager for that matter, and to get them to do that and mold them to do that, it's a great feat. And you know, the parents love it. And also, Jim, I want to mention too, they do physical fitness. They have a physical fitness challenge test they have to do each semester to see where they are and how they're progressing if they decide to stay in JROTC over 4 years.
Well, that's so important because of our regular public school curriculum has kind of cut out a lot of that PE. And unfortunately, just recently I saw that something like 70% of the young folks in our country wouldn't even qualify for military service because of issues related to health and physical appearance and the obesity problem, those sorts of things. So you're addressing that right up front by dealing with, hey, you've got to meet certain physical standards, it sounds like.
Right, correct. And we try to get them, we do PT every Friday, physical training. That's what PT is. And they're doing it for 55 minutes once a week. When it gets warmer outside, we take them out there Thursdays and Fridays. Get them out, get them moving around, because you know as well as I know that the average teenager is just sitting on the couch playing video games. They don't go outside and play anymore or get into any activities.
I was getting ready to talk to First Sergeant Albert Phoenix, retired, who's age and has been for about 13 years, a junior ROTC instructor. I had the opportunity to do a little show prep, and I was surprised to find that junior ROTC was established back in 1916 as part of the National Defense Act and expanded from the Army to all the military services by Congress in 1964. And currently there's something like 1,700 public and private high schools that are involved in junior ROTC. I think the average person doesn't realize sort of how robust this character development program is that junior ROTC presents.
Right, Jim. And we do have over the Army, we do have over 1,700 high schools, and we also have what's called the National Defense Cadet Corps as well. For those schools that don't want to be on the waiting list, because it's a big waiting list for schools trying to get on the junior ROTC, or get a junior ROTC program, excuse me. But in lieu of that, a school can also apply to be an NDCC school, which with that, the Army only provides the uniforms and the just the uniforms and the books. I'm sorry. Now, with regular junior ROTC, if you are a program, the Army provides uniforms, books, computers, anything we basically need, the Army supports us with that.
And is there a big population of junior ROTC faculty that supports this program?
Normally a junior ROTC unit is broken down. You have a senior Army instructor, and then you have an Army instructor. And that's for 100 to 150 students. If you have more than 150 cadets, you can get an additional instructor. So it goes up the higher your JROTC cadet population is. Now, in the inner city, you had mentioned I worked down in Detroit. That's where I first started out. They fall up under a DAI shop, Director of Army Instruction. So that's with five or more high schools. Then you would have, in the same area, then you would have a DAI shop. And that's usually led by a lieutenant colonel or a full bird colonel. And he has a staff, normally an XO, a military property specialist, and a operations chief and a secretary.
Albert, are these junior ROTC programs nationally found in a lot of inner city school systems, or is this not adopted by such schools?
No, normally the bulk of your junior ROTC programs are going to be in your urban areas, in your inner city areas. You have a bulk of them that are in urban areas. Then you have outer line schools in the suburban areas, like we have out here in the Wayne Westland School District with us, John Glenn and Wayne Memorial. So, but just predominantly in the inner cities.
So does that mean that junior ROTC serves a high minority student population? Is that a fair takeaway?
It could. It depends on the demographics of the area. But for the most part, I would say yes.
Well, I found it interesting because it seemed to me that the more I read about junior ROTC, I could see the benefits of it to a student or even a school system. And it appears that the statistics back it up, that a junior ROTC program and participation and stuff – will aid students in their attendance and graduation and dropout rates and GPA. Can you talk about your experiences, how Junior ROTC helps kids elevate the good categories and depress the bad categories?
Yes. Well, I'm going to give you some statistics here since you mentioned that, Jim. Attendance in the school, 90.3% attendance rate. Junior ROTC, 93.5%, okay? Graduation rates, 83%. Junior ROTC, 94%.
That's huge. Let's stop there for a minute. A 10 or 11 point difference in graduation rates is huge.
Yes, sir. And that goes back to what you said earlier about the discipline part of it.
And is that something, Albert, that you, as somebody who's been doing this for 13 years, can you look at kids and sort of say, I know, but for Junior ROTC, I think that kid would have dropped out. He wouldn't have graduated.
Right. Yes, sir. And I have seen that over my 13 years instructing. I've seen that on several occasions. And you get the great thing about it is you see that young man or lady, after they graduated, they go on, whether they go in the military or in the workforce, and they come back and they're doing something productive in their community and for society. That's the greatest feeling that any individual can have.
How is, in light of that statistic alone, how is Junior ROTC, I guess the right word might be accepted by the other teachers in the high school systems that you've been exposed to? I mean, let's face it, not all teachers love the concept of the military. So I'm wondering whether or not they see the value of these programs, or they really resist them because they think, oh, well, that's just the military sticking its nose in.
Right. It varies depending on where you're at. For the most part, the schools I've been at and the districts I've been at, they've been huge supporters of it because they see that the cadets, they're doing something productive for the school, for the community, and for themselves. But I have heard, just from going to different conferences over my years, that you do have some disparity in the school with other teachers, because depending on their beliefs, and you got a lot of groups out here too, they think that we're trying to get these young men and ladies, prepared to go into the military, and that is not the case. It is a citizenship course to get them to be a productive citizen after they graduate high school.
And again, that purpose or that mission is different and important to get across. And being more productive citizens shows up in those statistics we were talking about in terms of attendance and graduation. I suspect you also see it in things like dropout and GPA.
Yes. Dropout rate nationally was 8%. JROTC, less than 1%. That's another huge 7% right there.
That is. That's an amazing change.
Right. And then you look at the GPAs just across the board. National GPA, 2.72 in schools, 2.91 for JROTC cadets.
Do you see you mentioned ladies a couple of times. Do you see in your 13 years of experience with Junior ROTC a shift in the number of young ladies involved? Can you talk about that diversity dynamic some?
Yes, we have a lot of young ladies involved, and I would tell you over the years that I've been doing this, the majority of my staff and my battalion commanders have been young ladies. They seem to step up, take the challenge, and do an excellent job. I don't know what the reason is why most of the young men, I don't know if it's a macho thing or they just feel, you know, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be in the spotlight. But the young ladies, they step up and do a great job, Jim. They do an excellent job.
I'm going to ask you to step back in time, way back in time, to your first,
okay,
in your first involvement in joining Junior ROTC. What made you decide, or maybe it was a parent who pushed you or a teacher who pushed you, why'd you get involved?
I had a cousin that was in ROTC, and Junior ROTC, excuse me, and I was always fascinated just with the military, wanting to wear the uniform, serve my country. That's the reason I got in it, stuck with it. I had a great instructors back then. I participated in everything, and again, I did my 4 years and went to the Army, and I just loved it. It was just something about the uniform.
Right, right. Well, and we'd be remiss if we didn't say again that Air Force has a Junior ROTC, the Navy has a Junior ROTC. I think the Army is probably the largest and strongest program. But depending on what
right.
High school you might be in, you may have a Junior ROTC that's from one of the other military services.
Yes, that's correct, sir.
I also want to point out, because, again, I don't think people talk about this too much, is that there are some, you know, famous people that have gone through Junior ROTC. I saw a list that included football coach Lou Holtz and businessman Sam Walton, who founded
mm-hmm.
Walmart, and the incredible voice and actor James Earl Jones, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito. I mean, these are folks who have accomplished the – you know, by anybody's definition of success, they have accomplished success in the American dream. And if you could talk to them, I suspect they'd all tell you, yeah, it really started with Junior ROTC, where I learned a bunch of those life skills that I applied through the rest of my life. Just sort of like what you're saying, I think, Albert.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That is correct. That is correct.
If somebody was out there and thinking that, you know what, my grandchild or my niece or my nephew or my child could really get, this would be a good thing for them, how do they check out more about what Junior ROTC is about, and how do they find out if it's available in their area?
Oh, well, yes, Jim. They can go to www.usarmyjrotc.com. There's a link on there. It starts off with a home link. It has an about link. It has links to different areas. We're broken down in brigades. So you click on that area, and it's all color-coded as well. You can click on the area of the map and find out if a junior Army Junior ROTC program is in their area.
Well, we really want to thank First Sergeant Albert Phoenix, retired of the United States Army, for spending time with us today on Veterans Radio to educate us on Junior ROTC. Albert, the work you're doing is fantastic. I know you're turning out great men and women, and we really want to thank you for spending some time with us today.
Thank you, Jim.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.